Okay, thank you so much. It's a pleasure, Sharon, for your good question. So you want to understand last Thursday sharing, what is the meaning of a creative state? When you develop contemplation, reflection, and inquiry, you need a creative mind. Means the mind that is not actively thinking. Understand? Creative mind means the mind is aware in a creative state, born of wisdom, understanding, and also born of what they call faith, saddha, virya. Because without saddha and virya, your mind cannot compose and calm down. Then without mindfulness, it can never be in a creative state. It is lost in thought. So the subtle difference between contemplation, reflection, and inquiry against active thinking is very important. The active thinking is thought-based, knowledge-based. So if you do that, it will not help you. It becomes knowledge. You are trying to use the knowledge to understand. But when it comes to creative reflection, means when you are in a proper environment, means I call it a tranquil setting, or when you are alone in your house, then you can actually silent, then reflect, contemplate. I used to do it when I walk in my house. My son also, I noticed every time he wants to solve problem, he do that, he walk up and he walk down. Then I knew already he has his past. Otherwise, he won't do that. Then when I was in the outside my house, early morning, sometimes I used to wake up early. Then when I want to develop some form of understanding, mostly is to how to help Kayaramita understand. So I will relax, inquire, then I will throw up the inquiry. How can I let Kayaramita understand all this beautiful Dhamma which my nature has developed and the understanding of those things? Then from there, my creative mind is already in that creative state or the meditative state. So I don't have to do anything. Then from the inquiry, I will reflect, I will contemplate. And most of the times, I will recollect through my memory and I share. How does the Kayaramita actually develop the ability to understand? Of course, everyone is different. Some cannot, some can. And I see those who can, they have their past, they have their condition behind. Then those who don't have, because everyone is so different, then I have to understand how the next time when I explain it, he can understand, he can follow. Then I realize not everybody is at the same level. Not everybody can understand at the same speed and with that same type of explanation. Some are more slow. Some need other type of example. That's why you realize when my sharing comes in, different time, different people, different condition, the sharing is different. But it all revolves around the same essential term. So coming back to our question of creative thinking is, I will give you one example then you will understand. When does a musician most creative? And when is the like talented people most creative? When? When they are in their tranquil setting, correct or not? When they are in a place that they find it very soothing, very comfortable. So like the musician, they got to go to nature's where the nature setting is very beautiful, very conducive. Then even painter, same, poet, same. They need inspiration and the tranquil setting. The environment actually conditioned them into that creative state. Then they can come out with a creative thinking and understanding to develop the beautiful music. That's why they are talented. Their talent can work. So this is creative contemplation. Then they reflect. Then it come out, then in that moment, they will write it down. So that one is for talent, music and all those things. But for Dhamma, it is different. For Dhamma, we don't really need a very tranquil setting. Of course, tranquil setting will benefit. Like when you are in Cameron Highlands, Sanboksu, retreat condition and all those things. When the nature there is very beautiful, when the environment is very soothing, very conducive, when the great beings, nature are there, very conducive, then you can be in that contemplative, creative state very easily, very fast. But for us as cultivator, when we have our spiritual faculty developed, we can be in the creative state anytime, anywhere, any place, even while sitting on a bus, traveling along the highway, driving your car, or sitting as a passenger, or while you are walking in the park, or even in your garden, or even inside your house. And sometimes you can also do the reflection and contemplation while you're in your washroom. Have you tried that? When you are answering nature's call. Yeah, it can be done. And I did it very often in all those home activity environment, because my nature can contemplate very fast. That's why a lot of these things that I develop, it suddenly come to me when I reflect and contemplate. Sometimes it's the condition, it just manifests, then that contemplation comes. Then I knew it is something that I need to share. Especially the SJPA Dhamma talk and the Clang talk. Very funny one. Every time when there is a talk, sometimes they give me the title early, sometimes they give me the title late, and sometimes they say any title, whether dear one. So, and most of it during the early day, I think last minute only I get the title one. But for me, I don't have to do anything. Normally when the title come, I will just reflect on it and I will just contemplate on it. And in the midst of answering nature's call, that understanding just come. Then I just know what to share. I just have this understanding that because SJBA, Clang, the audience are different, understand? No? So what to share? They are not my student. They have not been following me for very long, like those who every time come to my class. So these people seldom hear my sharing. That's why I have to reflect and contemplate and share in a different manner. That's why you look at all the sharing that I give at SJBA or what, I tend to summarize what I have shared with the Kayamita over a period of time. The reason why I do that is because I see them only maybe once in 2 months or 3 months, or sometimes maybe once a year, or maybe. Clang is different. Clang is almost monthly last time, last time during the early years. So these are the conditions behind. So when they arise, I share is because, like Ng Bi used to tell me last time, wow, Bertil, the whole teaching, in 2 hours or so, everything is inside there. Then the last one, the essential Dhamma, he told me, Bertil, all the last 10 years, all in that 2 hours. The reason why that nature do that is because it's recorded, understand? Recorded video, so easy for people to understand. And because they seldom see me, so if this video has the condition to be viewed and shared, people learn very fast. So that's how it happened. So coming back to our contemplation, creative mind, it is just that silent mind that is just aware, mindful, with the faith, sadha. Faith is very important. When you have faith, it will actually create a type of spiritual faculty that will move you to cultivate. Well, that faith is very important. Faith in the Buddha and his teaching and your teacher is very important. Because when you have faith, you don't have to believe him. You have faith means you know he understands the teaching. His teaching is so beautiful. You are willing to listen, reflect, investigate, contemplate, and find out. That is the most beautiful. Then when you reflect, investigate, and contemplate, what happens is that creative mind that is silent, without thought, and most of the time aware, then through your contemplative inquiry, your inquiry will come up, because that one needs some form of thinking. Yes, that inquiry that you want to inquire come from the thought. How can I let them understand? Then like that day I told Susan, why did the Buddha say birth is suffering? How can I understand it? So I have to reflect. I have to contemplate into that. So the inquiry that need a little bit of slow thinking come up. Because you inquire, why did the Buddha say this? How can I understand this? So this inquiry will drive you. You are not thinking. You are mindfully reflecting, contemplating, and through your experience in life, you collect, recollect through life experience. What is birth? If you are not a lady, you have not given birth before, maybe your contemplation is not so thorough. But as a doctor, I think you also know quite a lot. So you've seen your patient and all those things you heard from your friends or colleague or whatever. Then, like my case, I learned from my wife. She will tell me how she conceived the morning sickness and all those things, then how it limit her movement activity, then how later on, how many months when the fetus is actively kicking her stomach, then the bump. Oh, I experienced them. Then I saw all this thing. Then I, through that contemplative reflection, I slowly developed that moment to moment of reflection and contemplation. And as this mindfulness recollect through past experiences, which is from the memory, but it recollect through the inquiry and the birth process. That's it. Then I understand why birth is suffering, the morning sickness and other things. Then my wife told me it's very painful, birth itself. But for her, it's lucky because very fast. Then the incision, very short incision. Then the birth is very natural. And my two children, very cheap. My daughter, I think 2 days in the hospital, 9 ringgit times 2, 18 ringgit only. Then my son, another day, 27 ringgit, well, government servant. So we were first class division one officer. So my wife was entitled to a gynecologist and all those things. So she has those things. That's why we have the appointment. I bring her. Then I study too. I understand. That's why I can recollect. Then I know the complication and all those things. We heard a lot of story of complicated birth. When the baby's head doesn't come down, then it needs a cesarean and all those things. Then when things don't go the normal way, when there is complication, and the worst is the dilemma when the doctor come out and say, I can only save one. Tell me which one you want to save. That is the worst. That is very traumatic. So there are such incidents. Then when there is complication, then it may not be a happy occasion. Then at one time I was told this, they call it what? The skin become yellow one. Jaundice. I think my son, he has to stay one day extra in hospital because there is some sign of jaundice. So they put him under the UV light, I think. And after one day he was okay, then he came home. So we learn all these things. So that recollection will bring you through that memory of what you have gone through. Then when you hit that point where you suddenly realize, hey, this is suffering. That's why the morning sickness and all those things, when things don't go the normal way, then you realize from contemplative wisdom, your understanding of birth is suffering stabilized. It's not just the excited moment, oh, I'm going to be a papa, I'm going to be a mama. I am looking forward to the full moon. Then the grandparents all happy, buying all the jewelry, everything, waiting to maybe on the full moon day celebrate and make gift offering and all those things. So you look at it in a different way, in the way you understand it through reality, through light itself. That's why you reflect, you contemplate. Then when it comes to old age, sickness and death, I recall how my parents grow old and how they went through life and all those things. Then as a son to my father, I also learned a lot. Yeah, he is a Chinese sensei, medical shop. So I learned a lot because people come and see him for treatment, suffering and all those things. Disease, sickness, then sometimes accident, injury, many things. And how they really go through that type of dukkha. That's why I start to understand birth is suffering, old age sickness, and finally death, very traumatic. So through real life, reflection, contemplation, I develop all this understanding, and this understanding start to stabilize. So this is no more knowledge. It's from life experience. I learn them through contemplative understanding and wisdom. Then you develop the deep meaning of the second turning. Because second turning is based on constant reflection, contemplation, and inquiry into the Dhamma that the Buddha has taught us. That's why we inquire. That's the reason why the second turning or the first noble truth, the Buddha say, this noble truth or dukkha is to be understood. So that is the inquiry. How can I develop the understanding? But the Buddha say, I have to understand it. Knowing it is knowledge, not enough. I have to understand it. So how to understand? Then I inquire. Why did the Buddha say birth is suffering? Old age, sickness and death is suffering. Separation is suffering. When I'm with people whom I don't like is suffering. And I can't get what I want. So I reflected through it, one by one, one by one. And it became so beautiful that my understanding became very deep. That's how it stabilized. Then when it starts to stabilize, the next time in life, when I go through as I age, then I start to develop this understanding. The Buddha say, this noble truth or dukkha is to be understood. Then I realize, not only contemplation, reflection. When I am sick, that is the best time to reflect and contemplate. This is suffering. Suffering is to be understood. So I feel it. Then I experience it. Then I understand it. Then I will reflect and contemplate. Oh, no wonder. When the Buddha say, birth is suffering, old age sickness and death is suffering, then I realize when the human body is in the perfect state, free of old age, sickness, and pending death, it is beautiful. That's why I enjoy every moment of that experience. I feel a lot of joy, a lot of gratitude for being healthy, not sick. No need to experience all those mind state. So when you have the Dhamma, your experiencing of that mind state when you are sick is so different. There is no suffering at all. You can endure, you can even smile and laugh it because that is the condition for you to learn. That's why I experience them all. I feel. I silence my mind to observe what pain is, what sensation is, how the form and mind actually create the tactile consciousness to actually stir your mind and make you like dislike that thing and want to quickly go and look for a doctor or somebody to have the solution. But I saw it, then I understand. Condition like that, things be like that. So I do what I have to do. If I need to see a doctor, I need to seek help, I will do it. If I need to consult people, I consult. But take care of karma. When you take care of karma, karma take care of your life. That's why I realize the condition will unfold. People will come and help me. And even the doctor that I see will be the right one. I never have problem with all this type of thing. I never have problem where I see the bogus one and get myself into trouble. And no, all along, like you are so blessed, you are so lucky, you always meet the right one. And everything just get resolved through the normal process. Some people call it luck, but it's nothing to do with luck. It's about your understanding of Dhamma, like the I Ching book. If you understand that the highest mind state is to develop the virtue and have the equanimous mind, Ping He. So when you are able to have that calm and peaceful mind, you are able to be at peace with all conditions that arise. Then you develop stability of understanding through that contemplation. That's why I always tell Kayamita, if you are sick, thank your good karma, blessing in disguise. And now you can really cultivate second turning or the first noble truth. Because the Buddha said, this noble truth or dukkha is to be understood. If you are not sick, how can you really understand it? Contemplative wisdom may not be as powerful as the reality that happened to your own form of mind. That's why I did it. That's why I can share all this and explain to Kayamita that if you really, really want to understand the Dhamma, there are a lot of things. The three turning is so beautiful. So first noble truth, first turning proclamation of truth. You heard them, the eight condition, the eight reality. Then finally, the second turning, the Buddha said, this noble truth or dukkha is to be understood. Then you move one by one until the last one. Why did the Buddha say, in short, he summarized all of suffering is due to the craving, born of self-delusion, that conditioned the individual to grasp at the five aggregates of form and mind. So it is these five aggregates of grasping, upadana khandas, that I call dukkha. Then I inquire straight away, why did the Buddha say that? How can I understand that? To understand that, I must understand what is the five aggregate of form and mind. That's why the moment I contemplate and reflect, then I realize the five aggregate of form and mind, the two aspects that I saw in the meditation. The book never write. The book never teach you the way I explained to you, the two aspects. That's why after that, I put to test. If I attach, cling, grabs to the five aggregate, first aspect, do I suffer? Second aspect, do I suffer? That's how I move into the Dhamma. That's how I experience them all in real life. It's not through knowledge, not concept. I never really do the active thinking and understand. No. So the third turning becomes even more beautiful. The third turning says, this noble truth or dukkha has been understood. Means you have already understood it. You have awakened. Means you know the cause of arising of suffering. You know what is suffering. Cause of arising is cessation and the path that lead to the cessation. That third turning is not easy. The third turning must go through the meditative understanding. Then go through the cessation of form and mind. Then your cultivation must hit the Avijja Sutta until Noble Eightfold Path, the final one. The four foundation of mindfulness within there, the last category of cultivation, Dhammanupassana, is mindfulness of the four noble truths and its three turning. That's why it all linked together. Then after that, the seven factor of enlightenment keep on arising. That's how you do it. Okay? Yeah. Sadhu. You end the recording.